If you're enjoying this podcast, please consider leaving a rating or review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. It really helps me out a lot. Cheers.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the Novel Endless Podcast. I'm Jed Hearn, and every episode I analyze a story to help you become a better writer. This episode is titled Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets by J.K. Rowling. Meaningful supporting characters. And of course, this episode contains spoilers, so you have been warned. If your story's all about the hero, what's the point of everyone else? I think we can all agree that the secondary characters in Harry Potter are amazing. From Hermione's notary to Fred and George's prankery, from Neville Longbottom's clumsiness to Hagrid's alarming yet endearing negligence, each secondary character makes the series a joy. So in this episode, I want to examine Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets. This book follows Harry's second year at Hogwarts, during which ominous messages appear, warning that the Chamber of Secrets has been opened and that the Heir of Slytherin is planning to kill students who don't belong to pure blood or magical families. It's up to Harry, Ron, and Hermione to unravel the mystery and close the Chamber of Secrets before someone gets killed. Today's episode is all about secondary characters. What constitutes a great secondary character? How can us writers create amazing side characters that improve the quality of our stories? Let's start by defining a secondary character. I'm sure, you know, fancy literary folk have lots of ways to do this, but for me, a secondary character is anyone who is not a point of view character or characters, or the main antagonist or antagonists. And by that kind of admittedly vague definition, secondary characters comprise the bulk of a novel, especially in the Harry Potter series, which has 772 total characters. And as a fun aside here, this is one of the cool facts I found when I was researching for this episode. The series has 1,084,170 words. Now, if you get out your calculator and you divide that by the total number of characters, each character gets, and I'm saying gets in inverted commas because, you know, that's not really how it works, each character gets an average of 1,404 words. Kind of puts into perspective, really, how compact and efficient Rowling was with her writing in this series. Alright, so back to the task at hand here. What makes a good secondary character? Well, I think one school of thought says that it's all about conflict. Good secondary characters provide conflict by having different goals to the main character. What I mean is this. When we think of conflict, we often think of the good guy or gal versus the bad guy or gal, hero versus villain. And while that can be effective, it could get old really quickly and feel simplistic. Secondary characters provide relief from that, because you can have a secondary character who is friends with your main character, but still does things that create conflict with your main character. And this is kind of why I really hate the idea of, you know, heroes and villains, because for me, it's better to think of characters as either protagonists, you know, the quote-unquote heroes, if you really want to use that definition, and the antagonists, the quote-unquote villains. And what's good about this definition of protagonists and antagonists, as opposed to heroes and villains, is that at some points, the protagonist's allies might actually become temporary antagonists who oppose their goal. And having this mindset creates just more room for gray spots in your story. Good people do bad things, bad people do good things. To me, that's just so much more interesting to explore compared to good people who always do good and bad people who always do bad. So for example, in the Chamber of Secrets, there is this great scene where Hagrid wants to let Harry and Ron get clues about the chamber itself. So he encourages them through a bunch of not really that cryptic clues, but they work anyway. He encourages them to go into the Forbidden Forest, this scary woods where they end up in the nest of a bunch of giant spiders who try to eat them. From his perspective, Hagrid is trying to help Harry and Ron. But from Harry and Ron's point of view, Hagrid is providing a lot of conflict and opposition for them, and they're lucky to make it out of the woods with their lives. Another example is at the start of the novel, at the start of the Chamber of Secrets. Dobby the house elf wants to stop Harry from going to Hogwarts because Dobby wants to protect Harry. But unfortunately, Dobby's idea of protecting Harry is to almost get him expelled from Hogwarts by using magic to smash his aunt's dessert on the kitchen floor and framing it on Harry, who of course isn't allowed to use magic outside of school. Here, Dobby wants to help Harry, but again, it really makes Harry worse off. Okay, little sip of water here. So conflict is a large part of effective secondary characters. Your story would just be really boring if all the secondary characters thought that the light shone out of your hero's butt and that they never did anything to annoy him or her. But I can't help feeling that's not it. Secondary characters don't just exist for creating conflict. We're missing something. Alright, how about humour? I think that's another great function of secondary characters, right? Harry himself is not an amazingly funny guy. You know, he has his moments, but it's not really his function. His function is more to be this kind of audience surrogate, a lens, if you like, for readers to experience the story through, and to imagine that the story is happening to them. And he's still a complex character with rock-solid motivations and meaningful character arcs in each book, and he does crack some good one-liners, but he's not really there for the jokes. That's not really his full purpose. Some of the other characters, on the other hand, well, they're just tailor-made for comedy, right? And the one that springs to mind in Chamber of Secrets is Gilderoy Lockhart. There's just so many great moments with this character where this try-hard celebrity reveals his utter inadequacy at actual magic. Whether it's the scene where the pixies wreak havoc to his classroom, or the time when he accidentally removes all the bones in Harry's broken arm instead of actually fixing those bones, he's this great shining example of how secondary characters typically can be used to provide, you know, much-needed comic relief, especially in stories that are as dark as this. Chamber of Secrets is pretty dark, considering that it's marketed as a children's book, right? So secondary characters have this really vital role of providing the levity and humour and fun moments to balance the darkness that perhaps the main character, for whatever reason, can't do. But again, that's not enough. That's not the sole function of secondary characters. I don't believe that that's the full extent of secondary characters. It's just to provide humour. Something else then. How about this? Do secondary characters exist to provide misdirection, to create suspense? Well, certainly in Harry Potter. For a lot of the novel, for a lot of the Chamber of Secrets, we suspect Draco Malfoy is the heir of Slytherin, the person responsible for unleashing the creature inside the Chamber of Secrets, which is petrifying students around Hogwarts. This misdirection leads Harry and Ron to disguise themselves as Slytherin students to sneak into the Slytherin common room to find out if Malfoy is the heir. However, they're proven wrong. Malfoy isn't the culprit. The main character, Harry, and us readers have been fooled. So misdirection is crucial to building suspense. And the reason is because if characters succeed on their first try, it just feels too easy. Misdirection lets you have these multiple try-fail cycles, which makes the protagonist's eventual victory so much sweeter because it's contrasted by this preceding series of failures. Alright then, so do secondary characters exist just to provide misdirection? Again, it's a big part of their role. But we can't ignore how we've established that secondary characters also produce humour and conflict. But if we think about this, conflict and misdirection are kind of related, right? You know, you could almost argue they're the same thing. So is that the point of secondary characters? To simply make the plot happen? Well, again, that's a key aspect of their use in Harry Potter, but again, that's not all they do. Secondary characters are, we shouldn't forget, characters. It's literally in their name, right? And characters don't just exist to drive the plot. That's an important part of them, but they don't just exist to drive the plot. They also exist to flesh out the world and to just, you know, be there and be interesting and compelling and worthwhile of exploring in their own right. Okay then, so kind of bringing this back in, if we had to choose between 1, creating conflict, 2, providing comic relief, 3, creating misdirection, 4, facilitating plot, or 5, just fleshing out the world, which one would we choose? Which one of those is the main purpose the main function of secondary characters. I'll give you a bit of a spoilers here, since you've made it this far. It's a trick question, because it's none of those things. Or at least, it's none of those things by themselves. The answer, as with so many other things in story, is this. It's about theme. Theme. In The Anatomy of Story, 22 Steps to Becoming a Master Storyteller, John Truby writes, quote, "A great story is not simply a sequence of events or surprises designed to entertain an audience. It is a sequence of actions with moral implications and effects designed to express a larger theme." End quote. Theme is the brain that guides a story. Once you've figured it out, and you might not discover it until after the first or second or even third draft of your novel, I personally find it really useful to write it down. Then, you've got yourself a filter. Now, you can take every element of your story and evaluate it with regards to the theme. Does this thing match the theme? Does this character behave in a way that explores the theme, etc.? And the theme of Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets, to me at least, your interpretation might be different, and I would love to hear what your interpretation is. You can send me an email at jed.hearn1@gmail.com with your thoughts on what the theme is, if it's different than this. But my interpretation is that the theme of Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets is that you are who you choose to be, not who other people want you to be. I'll say that again. You are who you choose to be, not who other people want you to be. It's a self-determination thing, right? And this is where secondary characters reveal their true power. In A Dance with Dragons by George R.R. Martin, one of the characters has a fantastic quote. Quote, "A reader lives 1,000 lives before he dies. The man who never reads lives only one." End quote. Now that's quite relevant to the function of secondary characters, because secondary characters can kind of achieve this function of letting you explore multiple lives, because secondary characters can explore different aspects of your theme that your protagonist just can't explore for whatever reason. Going back to Robert McKee, he explains this in Story, Substance, Structure, Style, and the Principles of Screenwriting. He says, quote, "Each role must fit a purpose, and the first principle of cast design is polarization. Between the various roles, we devise a network of contrasting or contradictory attitudes." End quote. In other words, each secondary character showcases an alternative way to respond to the story's thematic truth, that you are who you choose to be, not who other people want you to be, in Harry Potter. Whether these secondary characters fully embrace or fully reject this truth, or have something in between, their struggles with this theme guide Harry in his character arc of realizing and accepting this truth by the end of the novel. For example, Gilderoy Lockhart chooses to become an apparently successful celebrity, pretending he's done all these great things, pretending he has conquered all these monsters and he's written all these books about it, even though he doesn't actually have the experience to back it up, and he just steals other people's stories and passes them off as his own. This is an example of someone who's mastered a small part of the story's thematic truth by realizing that he kind of controls his external identity. In other words, and you'll like this bit, he controls the gilding he paints over his facade, gilding being a thin coating, usually of gold, that you paint over something to make it appear as solid gold. Almost like that's the point of his name, J.K. Rowling, you sly dog. However, he doesn't have the full picture because his internal identity doesn't back it up. He's mastered part of the thematic truth, but he doesn't walk the talk. Let's look at another character. Let's look at Dobby, one of my favorite characters from this book. Dobby is a house elf, a race that has been slaves to wizards for centuries. Slavery is ingrained into Dobby's DNA. Heck, if he disobeys his masters, he has to beat himself up as punishment, and he does this multiple times during the novel. So pretty much the whole world wants Dobby to be a slave. However, throughout the book, he inches closer to the thematic truth, to achieving self-determination, to defining his own identity. And this struggle, this character arc, culminates at the end of the book, where, with Harry's help, he proudly proclaims that Dobby is a free elf. And lastly, Tom Riddle. who for most of the novel appears as a memory in this 50-year-old diary, before being revealed to be, drumroll, Lord Voldemort's soul in the climax. And as you can imagine, his reaction to the theme is quite dramatic here. In the climax, there's this scene where he takes his name, Tom Marvolo Riddle, and he rearranges the letters in his name to say, I am Lord Voldemort. It's an anagram. Tom Riddle has cast aside the identity he was given at birth and created himself anew. So he's, in this regard, he's a dark shadow. He's this evil inversion of Harry Potter. And Harry, of course, also creates his own identity by realizing that even though he has many attributes of a Slytherin, which are, you know, teased out and tempted throughout this novel, it's up to him to decide who he wants to be. And he decides to be a true Gryffindor. And it's no accident that he makes this decision at a crucial moment in the book's climax, while trapped alone with Tom Riddle, aka Voldemort, in the Chamber of Secrets, well underneath the school, away from anyone. Down here, in this innermost cave, this moment of transcendence, he symbolically dies and achieves rebirth through deciding that he is a Gryffindor. He realizes the thematic truth that you are who you choose to be, not who other people want you to be. And this rebirth, through the realization of the theme, is symbolized in the appearance of Forks the Phoenix, a creature that, after death, rises from the ashes. Can't get more literal than that, right? And just in case we needed another reminder of the story's theme, Dumbledore reinforces it in the conclusion, when he says, "It is our choices, Harry, that show what we truly are, far more than our abilities." Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets isn't my favourite book in the series. That honour goes to Goblet of Fire or Deathly Hallows, depending on the day. Now, that's not to say that the Chamber of Secrets is a weak novel. I think it's a fantastic, cohesive, concise story with a ton of great moments that I loved revisiting as I was making this episode. And even though Harry Potter's name is on the cover, I think the reason why it's a good novel is ultimately not him. It's not necessarily him that makes this novel worth rereading. It's Dobby, it's Lockhart, it's Fred and George, and it's all those other secondary characters in the world of Harry Potter that knit together to form a wonderful tapestry of story. Thank you for listening to the Novel Analyst Podcast. I had a ton of fun putting together this episode. Harry Potter is one of my favourite series. And if you want to listen to some of my other episodes I've done on Harry Potter, way back in episode number 3, I did an episode called Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince by J.K. Rowling, creating suspense using question arts. And I also did an episode number 11, Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban by J.K. Rowling, narrative misdirection. So if you enjoyed my analysis of the Chamber of Secrets in this book, you can check out the links in the show notes to those other two episodes I've done on Harry Potter. Thank you so much for listening, and I will see you next time.